So today I thought I would take on a simple subject. I thought I would take on spiritual gifts. How many of you are comfortable with spiritual gifts, what it means, what they are? Who has ever had concerns or questions about spiritual gifting? Anybody? I certainly have. So today we're going to look at, if you want to open your Bibles to Romans, we'll be really focusing on two places, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and then chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. And so I've titled this message as Spiritual Gifts Strengthen Faith. So this morning we recognized Richard as a deacon of Canyon Bible Church. And we did that because Richard has a heart for service. And we recognize what God was already doing in his life, and this has led him to hold the office of deacon and serve the church. But in the general use of the word, Greek language, deacon means somebody who waits tables or serves his master. So within the church, there is the office of deacon, which we just bestowed upon Richard. But all believers are called to be deacons in the sense that we are all called to be servants of God and servants of his kingdom. God should be our Lord and Master, and we should serve him. I thought it was appropriate then to look at spiritual gifts from the perspective of Christian servanthood. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be misinformed or uninformed." I believe Paul was not only writing to the church in Corinth, but he's writing to every church since then. He's writing to us as a church here and as individuals. And I want to be able to examine then spiritual gifts from the perspective of God's servants this morning, that we may be informed what this means. Because we have a limited amount of time, I am not going to deal with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, where Paul goes into much detail about spiritual gifts. I have chosen to use a couple of more narrow texts so that we can focus and we can examine the teaching in those texts to see what spiritual gifting is concerning being servants of God. So as one reads through the New Testament, the first place they encounter the term spiritual gift is in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul wrote to the church in Rome and he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." So the wording in verse 11, impart to you some spiritual gift, I believe there's a lacking here in the translation. The translation loses really the more true, correct meaning, and it's a little misleading because it sounds like Paul is coming and he's going to give a spiritual gift to these people. The original text really means that Paul wants to give them the benefit of his spiritual gifts. And so you could say Paul is really saying, I long to see you and desire to use my gifts to spiritually strengthen you. See, Paul's message here is a simple one. Spiritual gifts are for the strengthening of other people's faith. This doesn't mean that when you use a spiritual gift for the benefit of others, you are not also strengthened. You don't receive joy and benefits because you use the gift. What it does mean, spiritual gifts are not to be hoarded. They are to be used, and they are be used for God's glory and for the benefit of others. See, when Paul says spiritual gift, to strengthen you. He's not referring to physical strength. He's referring to spiritual strength, strengthening another's faith. Paul made this clear when he, in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, he said, "We sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish," or what that actually means better in the Greek, "to strengthen and to exhort," or "to encourage you in your faith." Timothy was to use his spiritual gifts to spiritually strengthen the believers in Thessalonica. So to strengthen others by a spiritual gift means to help their faith not to suffer, but to grow stronger when the troubles of this world come invading into our lives and help us endure. God gives spiritual gifts to His children to help other people keep their faith, stay on the true path in difficult times in life. And also, if you don't want to think about it, one of the hard times in our lives is when things are going extremely well, because then we tend to forget our desperate need for Christ. So, it doesn't take much effort, I don't think, for us to look around and see all the people that God has put in our lives. And as we look around, we will see people whose faith needs to be strengthened. And as we observe those people, we should pray and we should think, how can we serve this person? How can we strengthen their faith? How can we help them see God's glory? See, many people today feel it's important to be able to go name your spiritual gifts. I believe this passage really lets us know there's no driving need to try to label your spiritual gifts before you use them. See, we don't have to worry about taking a class. I've done that. We don't have to worry about taking an aptitude test. I've done that as well. So I could label my spiritual gifts of prophecy, teaching, wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, mercy, administration, and the list goes on and on. What is the purpose of naming spiritual gifts? Simply, I think the purpose is so one can say, hey, these are my spiritual gifts. But just because you can name a spiritual gift doesn't mean you use it. And that's the problem. Spiritual gifts then are primarily not for you, but for the benefit of others. See, the reason we then have spiritual gifting is to bring God glory and strengthen other people's faith. So if you look around and you see somebody whose faith is suffering, you should pray. You should say, Lord, how can I help him or her? You know, and then, Lord, place on my heart what I need to do so that person could be helped. So you may discover, if you help that person, you may simply discover one of your spiritual gifts. See, you're not forcing the issue, but you found your gift by observing the needs, praying to God, and then acting. So when you act, you may be able to observe God in your action. I mean, if you warn a person that their behavior is sinful and they need to change and repent, and then they do change and repent, maybe you have the gift of edification and warning. I mean, if you were able to come along somebody who's struggling in their faith and needs help to have hope in Christ, perhaps you have the gift of empathy. You know, and if you see somebody new in your neighborhood and you know they're lonely and you invite them into your home and make them feel welcome and provide them a meal, then maybe you have the gift of hospitality. See, the thing to be truly concerned about is not the name of the spiritual gift, but you should be concerned about am I doing the thing to strengthen the faith of people so that they can stay true to the path? So as you can tell, I believe the problem is not knowing what the name of your spiritual gift is, but having a heart's desire to serve others and to strengthen their faith. I also believe God can give whatever gift is needed at the very time it's needed. I'm not aware, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not aware of anywhere in the scriptures where it says God gives gifts that are permanent and irrevocable. See, scripture doesn't indicate that you get a spiritual gift and it will never change. God is going to give you what you need when you need it. See, the scripture does indicate, though, that the right path, the godly path in life, is a narrow road. It's a narrow gate. And the world's path is wide, but it's strewn with obstacles. And we all need strengthening of our faith if we are going to stay on the narrow path. So spiritual gifts are meant to encourage other people's faith. So the problem is not being able to name your spiritual gifts. The problem is this. The problem is we need a heart change. We need a change to love God above all else. If we're this kind of person, we'll wake up in the morning thinking and praising God just that He saved us and that we have this wonderful relationship with God through Christ. And we'll wake up in the morning and we'll say, Lord, show me how I can serve others this day. Lord, show me how I can serve others and strengthen their faith this day. And Lord, at the end of this day, I desire that other people around me will be strengthened and more confident in your promises for their life. They will be able to experience more of your love and your grace and your mercy. Is this the way you wake up in the morning? Is this your attitude? Because if it is, then the Holy Spirit will show you the path to serve others, to use your gifting. If this is your attitude, then you will have the strength and the gifting to serve effectively. See, Paul, as he often does, I just love Paul, made this clear of who we are and who we are to be in Christ when he wrote his letter in Philippians. He said, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. See, a community of Christ, His church, is to have one mind, one love, one spirit, one purpose, and this comes from the wisdom and the power of God's Word. Then as a community, we will be able to do what Paul continues to say in the same passage. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. So again, let me ask, is this who you are? Is this who I am? Does this describe Canyon Bible Church? See, because together we can be more. We can be more and better true servants of Christ. And the reason for this is we serve in community. See, this is just one reason that God created His church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, because when we live in community, when we live in a church, when we are part of Canyon Bible Church, that Christ is the head, then it helps develop in us a heart of service. See, once more, let me read from Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, and that is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. See, what's interesting here, Paul restates verse 11 in verse 12, where he says, we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. When we become people who desire to strengthen other people's faith, then it becomes a mutual event and no one is then left out. All people's needs are then met. We are all strengthened by each other and there is mutual benefit. In verse 11, Paul wants to strengthen his readers. And in verse 12, he wants to encourage them. And by encouraging them, in return, they will encourage him. So as I see it, a spiritual gift is the ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively in word or deed for strengthening someone else's faith. I hope this key idea you're seeing in verses 11 and 12. See, we all have natural talents and abilities, but they're not spiritual gifts if they are not founded in faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and not being used for the benefit to serve others and to strengthen their faith. See, we want people to have more knowledge and faith of God. We want them to help increase their awe of God, and we want to help them to live in faith. It doesn't always happen. Paul was very frustrated. He was frustrated with the church in Galactica, and so he lays this out for him. He says in chapter 3, verses 2 to 6, he says, do you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? You begun by the Spirit and you are now being perfected by the flesh? Do you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do so by works or in the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. See, no matter what your abilities are, what you can do, if you are not relying on God and not aiming to help others to rely on God, and then those are your natural abilities. They are not spiritual gifts. These abilities are not spiritual because they are not flowing out of your faith. They are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they are not focused on others. They're focused on your own self. A church where the Holy Spirit is alive and it's powerful in the lives of its people is a church that is sensitive then to the differences between natural abilities and spiritual gifting empowered by God. See, all spiritual gifts are given by God's grace. In another passage found in the book of Romans, in chapter 12, I told you to look at, Paul gives more detail concerning spiritual gifts, even though in this passage, he only uses the word gifts. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and I'll begin reading in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in the proportion to your faith. In service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I want you to see two things in this passage. First, I believe this passage confirms the passage in chapter 1 of Romans that we shouldn't have to worry so much about how we name our spiritual gifts. We don't need to label them necessarily. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives the ability to express your faith and gives you the strength to strengthen others. Look at verse 8. There are four gifts listed. The one who exhorts, the one who contributes, the one who leads, and the one who does acts of mercy. What's interesting is that every believer is supposed to live out these four gifts. The Spirit may equip some to do it a little more easily or more often, but all should strive to live, because we are all to exhort or share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are all called to contribute or tithe, and we're to do it out of a generous heart and out of faith and out of obedience. We are all called to lead. We are to live the precepts of God. And as we do that, we lead because we show the broken world the true path and the truth of God. And we are all, and may we all, do acts of mercy. Because this takes us right back to spiritual gifts. Anything done in the service of God by the power of the Spirit and based on faith is called a gift, and it is by the grace of God. See, the second thing I'd like you to see in this passage is both the gifts we have and the faith we exercise is given by God in varying measures, it says. This is why it takes all of us to make up the body of Christ, the church of Christ, because we all have different gifts in different measures, and then we support each other and help each other. As Paul wrote in verses 5 and 6, he said, "We, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us." See, so Paul here uncovers a profound truth. And this truth is intended to deal and slay our natural pride, our natural self-reliance, our natural boasting. Now, we've all seen TV evangelists and shows where they boast how special they are and how God has made them special. But see, what verse 6 is saying, even though our gifts may differ according to the grace given to us. In other words, any distinction, anything that sets you apart in your abilities to do things for the kingdom of God is owing to grace. That is, it's freely given. It's not earned. It's not deserved. It's given by the grace of God. So you can't boast about it. Because if you boast, you're no longer glorifying God, but glorifying yourself. See? And if we glorify ourselves, does that not take us back to the Old Testament and idol worship? Because we are making ourselves idols before God. So the final point I want to make this morning is that the aim of all spiritual gifts is that God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. And this means the aim of God giving spiritual gifts is for us to glorify Him and to serve others through our faith, and that His glory will be displayed in all things. See, He wants us to marvel in who He is. And as we think about who He is and we pray about it and we think about it and we read the Scriptures, don't we realize that God is so incredible? He's beyond our imagination. He gives us enough in the Scriptures that we can know Him. We can trust Him. We can believe in Him. But that's only a small part of who He is in totality. So if we live in awe of God and we then use the gifts He gives us so that other people might have awe of Him and glorify in Him, then we are using spiritual gifts to help others. And the astonishing thing, if we think about it, God is so huge. He is so encompassing. Cannot God be found in every single molecule of the universe? He created it all. I'm telling you, there's nothing more thrilling, nothing more joyful, nothing more meaningful, more satisfying to find our place, our niche in God's eternal plan. We may think that our gift that He has given us is small, but you have to think about it this way. Every gift He gives is a part of His revelation to the world. So there is no such thing as a small gift. Every gift has eternal consequences when they are used for the glory of God. Let me close with this thought from Paul. For from God and through Him and to Him are all things. Our whole focus of life should be God. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. I mean, is this not our purpose? To glory in God and use His giftings that others might see His glory. If you understand this, then it changes your whole purpose in life. It changes how you see your daily life, even in the mundane things, because we all have them in our jobs, in our routine. But they take on new significance because everything we do, we want to do to glorify God. And every gift He has given us, we want to use it not for ourselves, but for His glory and to help others in their faith. And then what's exciting is when we have that attitude, often I feel like I give more than I give. Because it's not about me. It's about God. It's not about me. It's about others. That's the attitude we need to live each and every day with. We need to wake up each morning and think, what an amazing God. I can't believe He saved me. I am so thankful. And I want everybody else to know who God is and experience the joy and love and peace I have in my heart because of Him. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word this morning. We praise Your name above all names. Father, help us truly develop a heart of a servant. And I know, Father, as You develop our hearts, as we open our hearts to You, as we submit our lives to You, that then You will use us in many ways, in ways that will absolutely amaze us. And so, Father, I look forward to hearing from the people of Canyon Bible Church, the people in this room, over the next few weeks and months and years, how You have used them in absolutely amazing ways because they were willing to submit their lives to You and love You and want to share You with everybody they meet. Thank You, Father. Amen.